This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's about 85 degrees here in Central Virginia. Absolutely lovely. Going to be a hot, steamy weekend. Father's Day weekend, celebrating dads and their contributions that they've made to our lives. Jody Kilbasa is the director of the Virginia Film Festival, and you are a dad. What'd you say? Three times over.
I am a dad three times over. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to my daughter,
please,
Camille.
Do. Camille, there you go. Hello,
and,
Camille.
She's 8 years old. My son, Luke, who's four, about to turn five. And my little baby girl, Juliet, who'll be two in August.
Oh, fantastic. So y'all have your hands full.
Yeah, we do. Well, at least Helen still does at home right now. Yeah. I'll be down there shortly, and then we'll all have them full.
So you have a 2-year-old, so sleeping? Is sleeping through the night okay? Is
oh, well, yeah.
That
We've
going
been
well?
Fortunate enough. She's been doing that since she's about 4 months old.
Although
last night she
you're
was
a lucky
up in the
man.
Middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, you are a lucky man. I think it took my twins, they were like four and a half years old before we could know they're going to sleep and you're going to stay asleep until morning. It took a few years.
well, in most cases, we get some surprises in the middle of the night showing up at the bedside.
What do you remember about your dad? Did any one lesson stick out in your mind that you'll just never forget?
You know, my dad...
Teach you how to catch a groundhog with your bare hands?
No, he taught me how to catch a ground ball with my bare hands.
There you go.
And a lot of sessions out on the baseball diamond early in the morning with my dad. And my dad was just a great guy and a loving guy and just always encouraged me to do whatever I wanted to do, whatever calling I had in life, which is, I think, a great lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a dad like that. I mean, and I think that's one of the greatest lessons you can give a kid is just find something you love and go be really good at it.
Yeah.
And just know that I don't care what it is, as long as you're putting your all into it and always working to be better at it, you know? Jody Kilbasa, he's the director of the Virginia Film Festival. It's online at vafilm.org, and he is with us on the program this afternoon. What's the latest news from the festival?
Well, we just announced 2 days ago our call for entries, and, you know, I was brand new last year about this time, and we launched our first call for entries in a number of years, I think at least 5 or 6 years, and we had a strong turnout of films, particularly really strong representation from Virginia filmmakers, which was wonderful and something that sort of led me to go ahead and establish a Virginia Filmmakers Showcase during the festival itself, in which we showcased a lot of Virginia filmmakers and the films that they had done and some excellent films that came out of that last year. And to this end this year, we've added shorts as a format as well. So we're out there soliciting shorts, documentaries, and features. And in the first day and a half, we had about 25 films submitted, which is pretty remarkable.
Wow.
And way above where we were for submissions last year. So I think that's very encouraging. And this submission process will go on through early September. And although there is a fee for this, I want to stress that if you are a resident of the state of Virginia or a student at a Virginia school, it's free.
That's
absolutely
terrific.
Free. So we're waiving that fee for Virginia residents or people attending school here in the state of Virginia. Encourage everybody to submit their film. If you're interested, you can go to the virginiafilmfestival.org, and there's a Submit Your Film box on there you can just click on, or you can go straight to Without a Box, which is the film submission site that most of the big festivals in the United States use. And it'll take you through how to do it.
That's great. So this is a whole showcase part of it. Well, this is not just Virginia people, but...
Oh, yeah. We get films from all over the world that submit. And, you know, but again, I've also been particularly excited. I mean, you know, this spring alone, we had two wonderful documentaries come out from Charlottesville that had their world premiere at the South by Southwest Film Festival. I think we talked about that a little while ago. And so there's just some great product coming out of Charlottesville and Virginia proper. So
that's great. Jody, when you're watching a film and reviewing it for the Virginia Film Festival, a submission, do you know... Like within the first few minutes, we're gonna definitely showcase this. Or is it always the kind of thing that you got to see it through to the end?
Oh no! I got to be honest. I don't see every single film to the end. If you're 15, 20 minutes into a film and you just know it's not hitting the mark, then you've got to move on because there's so many films.
Yeah.
And you know you can't. I know. To every artist, it's like, oh, you should see the whole thing. But in reality, if the first 15 minutes of the film is not good enough know, you've lost your audience.
Like, it's like a publisher reading a novel. I couldn't read your whole novel. I read the first couple of chapters and it didn't do it for me.
Now, there will be a number of films that we'll be looking at that, you know, you're 15 minutes and we're still on the fence about it. That's for sure. And we continue watching through the end and then go ahead and make a decision. But even going to film festivals, and this is a tough thing for film programmers. I'm going to Silver Docs Film Festival in Silver Spring, Maryland next week. And it's great documentary film festival. Some of the best docs that are out there. And in fact, that's where I saw More Than a Game, which was the LeBron James documentary last year, and By the People and Convention, and some really strong documentaries that we actually had in our film festival. But, you know, a lot of these festivals, they screen, you know, 75, 100, in the case of Toronto, close to 400 films. Oh, and if you're there for 5 days, let's say an average, you can see 5 days of film if you're really, really, really watching. In some cases, you know, you have to make a decision, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes into a film. This film's not for us. Not going to work. And move on.
We're talking with Jody Kielbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. So you know within the first few minutes when you're watching a film, whether you use the words, it hits the mark. What is it that really hits the mark for you? Is it story? Is it character? Is it cinematography? Is it a combination of all of those? Is there one thing that you, as a somebody who really appreciates and understands film, that you like to look at for?
Well, you know, first of all, I like to try, and from my perspective, and I hate to use this word, judge a film, but I have to. I mean, I program a festival, so essentially that's what I do, is I sit in judgment as to at least whether I want it to be in our film festival here for the Virginia Film Festival. And I think in doing that, I try and take a look at not what I want the film to do, but what was the filmmaker trying to do? And it's my assessment of, are they successful in what they've set out to do? And you can sort of judge that, take a look at the film and see what the film's trying to say, what it's trying to do, and how successful are they. And again, that's not superimposing my own views on top of that film. It's really, you know, how's that filmmaker doing, what he's saying, and how he's saying it. That can be story, it can be acting, it can be direction, it can be cinematography, it can be all of them. I've gone with some films where one or more of those things aren't phenomenal, but there's something intrinsically interesting in the film. And remember, film makers are artists, and all artists grow in their life. You'd like to think that, you know, that you're going to continuously get better. That's not always the case. You know, sometimes a filmmaker has a short life. They make one or two good films, and everything else they do after that's not so great.
Yeah.
As with many artists as well. But you'd like to think there's growth in their work. So sometimes you might bring in a filmmaker that really is exciting, and they're doing some really, really great things. Not everything perfect, but a lot of the film is really kind of really great. And you go, okay, I want to screen this film because a lot of it's great.
Yeah. When you just said that about that some artists don't get better, they have some success and then they keep going, but it doesn't get better. You know who came to mind as a director?
Who's that?
And I could be totally wrong, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Stanley Kubrick. I thought his films, as he went through his career, they didn't get better.
Well,
they
know,
got sort of more mediocre, but I could be wrong, but that was just my taste.
Yeah, why? You know, and he died shortly after or during, was at the very end of Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman,
I think,
right?
Very much a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Know? But you know, I think it becomes tougher. I mean, I think, you know, you hear writers getting writer's cramp, you know, you understand, like Harper Lee wrote Just To Kill a Mockingbird.
And didn't do anything else.
To Kill a Mockingbird, that's what she's written. And yet, I wouldn't mind having penned that novel.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's even some argument that because that's the only thing she's ever done, people question, did she actually write it? You know?
Oh, interesting.
It, you know, her that wrote it. You know, so it's kind of interesting. But I mean, you know, again, I think people can, for whatever reasons, they can get the equivalent of writer's cramp or you know, maybe they had a particular passion for a subject and everything came together in terms of their vision for it and pulling people together. You know, you may have just hit gold by assembling the correct creative team.
Now, vafilm.org is the website. We're talking with Jody Kielbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. They are now seeking submissions. So you want to hear from filmmakers who might be interested. How about just locals or people listening to this podcast who are like, hey, I saw an incredible film at some festival. Can I email Jody and get it on his radar? Are you receptive to that kind of thing as well?
I'm always receptive to suggestions out there. You know, I think what everybody has to be aware of too is that There's a whole number of things that dictate whether it would be in the Virginia Film Festival. In some cases, it may be that that filmmaker is ready to release the film. It's already got a distributor. The distributor may have a different marketing plan. It may be already on a release schedule. They may have said, we're only going to go to three or four festivals around the country, Toronto, Sundance, maybe Telluride, maybe a festival out of the country, and that's it. And then we're going to make sure the film sells. So, you know, unfortunately, even bringing it to my attention doesn't mean, and the fact that I do like it doesn't mean it will get in, because there's other factors that dictate that. But nonetheless, I'm always open to suggestions, and that's a great thing. And it can't be everywhere all the time.
Now, what's up with the film series at the Paramount this summer?
Well, you know, this has been a great series, and it's been building. It started out a little slow in the winter, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were launching a new series there, and the public didn't know about it yet, and there was, you know, 17 feet of snow on the ground, which didn't help. But since things have warmed up in the late spring, and now as we're approaching summer, the crowds have been picking up. I think we had nearly 600 people to see Raiders of the Lost Ark last month. And we're doing a real sort of potpourri of films. This is Musical June. We screened Meet Me in St. Louis with Judy Garland earlier
Great
in the month.
Great movie. Love
and,
that movie.
And next up is Anchors Away with Frank Sinatra and Catherine Grayson and Gene Kelly. And of course, this particular film contains the classic scene where Gene Kelly dances with Jerry from Tom and Jerry in an animated sequence, which is brilliant. It's about 8 minutes long in the middle of the film, and it was the first time, I believe, that they used animation with a live shot, with a live actor. And it's a remarkable dance segment. I'm sure many of you have seen it, and that's entertainment or other sequences, but it's brilliant.
And that was years before Song of the South, which really put that kind of thing on the map, right?
Yes, exactly. And this was great, and you know, Gene Kelly, God, Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. In July, it's a family fun month, and we have some sort of fun classic films. We have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Sweet.
And Superman.
That kid catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang scared the heck out of me when I was a kid. Remember the guy with the wagon and he got all the kids? And
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Scary guy.
I still think that and Willy Wonka are two of the most scary films out there, but for kids in many ways. Superman, the you know, Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah, the Superman movie.
The Superman. And although I actually like the recent one that was out a couple years back, and just kind of for fun, in the month of July of our nation's founding, 1776.
Great
we're
musical.
We're going to be screening as well, which is a fun musical and certainly ties into the historical heritage of this region. So we're going to be doing that. And then in August, we have sort of a concert-themed month. We have Standing in the Shadows of Motown on August 9th. On August 16th, This is Spinal Tap, which is the classic mockumentary that really, really sort of cemented and launched that whole concept of the mockumentary.
Yeah.
A brilliant film. We have Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison.
Wow.
And we have on the 30th, Don't Look Back, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Wow, so, this is all at the Paramount?
All at the Paramount on Monday nights at 7 p.m. All summer long. Be able to see it on the big screen. Really, really wonderful way to see film.
Yeah, absolutely. That schedule, you can find it online at vafilm.org. We're talking with Jody Kilbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. We'll take a quick one-minute break, and when we get back, Jody, let's talk about the summer movie season and what folks can or can't look forward to this summer. We got about 10 minutes before 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia, 85 degrees. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Hawes Spencer at 5:08, live in studio for Fun Fridays with Hawes. Get the weekend started off right. Looking forward to that. We also want to say in the first half hour, we took calls from folks sharing what they learned from their dad, and we're going to give away dinner for four to George Riley. Dinner for four to George Riley and his family. At Zazu's Fresh Grill, George was the guy who called in and said, I'll never forget when I was 5 years old, my dad taught me the proper way to open a peanut. And he's been doing it ever since. Congratulations, George. I hope you enjoy your dinner at Zazu's. Kathy's on the line with us. Kathy, what's going on? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. He just mentioned a film that I hadn't heard about till about 10 years ago. Standing in the Shadows of Motown is a must for anybody who grew up in the 60s. It is absolutely an awesome film discussing the band, the Funk Brothers, that are actually the background of 100 top 10 hits that came out of Motown. And the most interesting thing is not all of them are African American. So that it really was wild looking at it. It's a wonderful film.
That sounds great. I haven't actually never seen it.
That's and it's got a lot of young stars singing classic Motown hits in it as they go through, and they mention and where, like, who came up with the first four bars of My Girl, which are, like, one of the most song you can pick from, like, two notes if you know it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great documentary, and it really is fascinating to see, you know, who's behind a lot of these hits, how they were recorded, and, you know, these incredible musicians. And it really sort of captures that sound in that period as well, too.
Yeah. Kathy, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. You too. Bye.
Absolutely. And so remind us again when that film is playing. That's part of the Paramount Summer Series.
That is indeed. And it's on August 9th, Standing in the Shadows of Motown.
There you go. We're talking with Jody Kielbasa of the Virginia Film Festival. So your thoughts on the summer movie season. I know Toy Story 3 opens today, and I'm going to be taking 2 8-year-olds to see that at some point this weekend.
Well, you know, it's been a little bit of a false start for Hollywood this year. They had such a remarkable fall and a strong winter and even early spring. And then all of a sudden, it seemed right after Alice in Wonderland and How to Train Your Dragon, it just dropped off the cliff in terms of box office. And there hasn't been that much out there that's been, you know, really exciting, and certainly nothing that's been burning up the box office.
Is that because of the economy? Is Hollywood cutting back?
Or I don't think so at all. I think that Hollywood just the last year and a half has been some of its strongest years ever. And you take a look at films like Avatar and Alice in Wonderland, and they've just done blockbuster box office this past year.
I like both of those.
And in fact, they generally say that it's, even though in many ways, film is still expensive to take a family of 4 or 5, and it can, you know, by the time you're done with concessions and everything like that, it's still an inexpensive form of entertainment, and historically has done very well when there's a recession or a depression out there, and this has been no exception.
Yeah. We're talking with Jody Kielbasa. So normally in the summer, we have 1 or 2 huge blockbusters that bring people out in droves.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that? Is that on the slate for this year?
I think maybe it will be. I think that the most recent Shrek installation has done well, but not necessarily what might have been hoped for. It'll be interesting to see how Toy Story 3 does, because it's been a number of years since Toy Story 2 that's coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of a beloved franchise, and it'll be interesting to see if they exhausted it, or, you know, this new concept of the boy going to college and the toys being, well, I don't want to give it away. But nonetheless, it'll be interesting to see how that does. I think without a doubt that the Twilight installation that's
coming out.
Have
you seen any of that? It's these vampire kids, right?
Pardon me? Yeah, it's the vampire kids.
I haven't
kids.
Seen. Well, I know nothing about it except they're vampire kids.
I mean, it's really interesting to see, you know, what's going on with vampires right now, and how about every 10 years they sort of rise from the crypt once again. And there's a whole new franchise that's out there, or a fascination with them. They honestly never do die.
Yeah, well, back in the 80s, I remember Anne Rice, was it, with the movies and the
right,
books? And,
exactly, yeah. Exactly. But this is a whole different thing. I mean, it was kind of interesting because 2 weeks ago at University of Virginia, I moderated a panel that had Temple Fennell, who's here from Charlottesville, and major producer, and Glenn Williamson, who produced Wonderful World with Matthew Broderick, that was in during the festival last year, and Ron Hohauser, who's the CFO of Summit Entertainment, which is releasing all the Twilight films, and a lot of talk, and we saw a sneak preview screening of not the whole film, but just a trailer out there, and he was talking about, you know, what it's like to have a franchise like that, and how 2 of the films, previous films, are among the top 5 all-time grossing box office hits.
Holy cow.
And so you can imagine what's going to happen now, and that women around the country are lining up and sleeping overnight in tents outside the box office to be the first to see it at midnight on July 30th.
Now, you mean women, you mean teenage girls, right? Or are there young women that are getting into this?
I mean,
really?
Women in their 30s and 40s that
really?
Have fallen in love with the novel and with the film as well. So they'll be joined by teenage daughters and this and that. But there's going to be a lot of women that are somewhat more mature than teenage.
Interesting. It's really interesting that's really caught on. Anything else this summer come to mind?
Well, you know, I'll be curious to see what the Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz is going to do out there. Because, you know, Tom Cruise, whose last couple of films have not done that well at the box office, even the last Mission Impossible installation was a little bit of a disappointment. You know, I think Tom Cruise has actually always been a very funny guy. And you look at films like Risky Business that really launched his career, or to a lesser extent, Jerry Maguire. He had a great sense of humor and was very engaging and winning in those films. So it'll be curious to see what this film does for him, if it's going to reestablish him and if it's going to do well at the box office or not. I also think that there's a film out there that I saw at Toronto that I love that has a local connection called Get Low. And it's a lovely film that stars Sissy Spacek and Robert Duvall and Bill Murray. And it takes place in the late 20s, early
30s.
What
a lineup. That's great.
Great lineup. A Depression-era film in which Robert Duvall plays an eccentric hermit that everybody's afraid of, lives out in the country, and he comes in to speak to the local undertaker, played by Bill Murray, and he wants to pay for his own funeral in advance, and he wants to hold a party, and he wants to be alive at his own funeral to hear what people have to say about him. And it's really a great film, a tour de force acting vehicle for Spacek and Duvall and Murray, and a film they're not making that often these days. So that comes out on July 30th. I don't know that it's going to make Charlottesville right away, but it's a film to watch out, and particularly because of the local connection with Sissy Spacek and Robert Duvall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of interest.
Jody Kilbasa, the website is vafilm.org. Again, check it out online, vafilm.org. He's the director of the Virginia Film Festival, which is now taking submissions for the 2010 festival up until September. So go online and get more information. And don't forget the summer film series at the Paramount Theater. The schedule's online at the Paramount website or vafilm.org. Jody, thank you so much. Have a great summer.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.